Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, the host of the daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, and this is a Saturday Night Special episode. Saturday Night Specials come along when I have something to share with you that's not a regularly scheduled episode of the show. I always schedule them to drop at 6:59 p.m. That's 1859 in military time, get it? Year of Oregon statehood, right? Okay. Anyway, I usually post them early so I don't forget, but that's the official time when this is coming out, which is why you don't get the Good Morning Oregon thing this time. But hey, Monday morning will be here soon enough. This particular Saturday night special is a recording of a radio appearance on The Wake Up Call with Bill London and Gary Snyder on KPNW Radio. That's 1150 AM or 93.7 FM out of Eugene. KPNW has been kind enough to give me permission to rebroadcast it on my podcast, so here it is. By the way, I'm kind of a regular on The Wake Up Call. I'm on the air with Bill and Gary once a month, usually the first Friday of the month, unless it's a holiday, in which case it's the second Friday of the month, 6:30 a.m. If you're around Central Lane County, lock it in and rip the knob off, as the KGON DJs used to say when I was in high school. If you're not in the area, you can always catch me on their stream. Go to kpnw.com and click the red Listen Now button at the top right. This episode aired on July 10th of last year, and the topic was Hathaway Jones, the legendary tall tale teller of the Rogue River Wilderness. Here it comes. I'm queuing it up now.
Once again, it is my profound pleasure to introduce
The Wake Up Call on News Radio 1120 KPNW.
Quiet, please. Get ready.
It's so terribly happy to have all of you with us right now.
Hey, look who's here. It is none other than our good friend from Oregon State University. It is the ever popular Finn John.
Hi, everybody.
How are you doing, Finn?
Well, so far so good, but you know, it's early in the day. There's plenty of time for everything to go horribly wrong yet.
I know how that goes.
I
feel you on that one.
Yeah. Well, it can't be as bad as yesterday. I thought I was going to melt. But yeah.
Okay. You, of course, are the creator of Offbeat Oregon, which is a fantastic website dealing with stories that most people generally don't know about or haven't heard about regarding Oregon. And you, in your usual style, tell us a story as we gather around the radio campfire.
The tubes are flickering. That's the guitar amplifiers, right?
Right.
That's the only place to use those anymore. So I've been digging into the Hathaway Jones stories recently. Actually, there's a lot there. And I mentioned Hathaway Jones last time, but he was the rural mail carrier. Basically, he delivered the mail with a string of mules on pack trails in the craggies of southern western Oregon, in this patch of really very undeveloped area along the Rogue River, the Upper Rogue. Mm-hmm. So we're talking places like Agnes and Illahee, just deep in the boonies. And from 1895 to 1937, and in 1937 he died on the trail, because one of his cinch straps broke while he was riding a mule across at the top of a cliff. And it pitched him off the cliff and he fell on his head. And I think he was about 57 years old at that time. Mm-hmm. But Hathaway Jones, for the previous four decades, he was the connection with the outside world for everyone who lived in that area. They got their news from the outside world from him. So he was kind of like a television network, a one-man television network. And he would have news programming, national news programming. He'd tell everybody what folks were talking about in the hotels at Gold Beach. And he'd tell everybody, who was getting married to who, and whether Crazy Hugo, the hermit of the Craggies, had been caught yet after he murdered one of their other neighbors, stuff like that. But he also would tell stories. He just called them lies. a modern version of Hathaway Jones would probably refer to them in less radio-friendly terminology, but lies seem to get the job done. he had this whole set of stories about himself and his family that he would just, you know, sit down and he'd start off by saying something like, well, you wouldn't believe this, but and then he would start talking. And his typical technique was to start off very plausibly, you know, so that you would sort of get lulled into a sense of security, thinking that you were being told a true story. And then he would just amp up the crazy little by little until suddenly you realized that you'd been buying Whoppers for the previous 5 minutes. But yeah, the characters in the Hathaway Jones cinematic universe were, of course, Hathaway Jones himself. And the most common story was that wasn't about Hathaway himself, was about his grandfather, Ike Jones, who was sort of like a wild animal whisperer. He had a pet raven named Lemuel, which cursed like a truck driver in two different languages and talked. he had a pet bobcat that he named Lucifer because it was such a little wild cat when it was young. But anyway, so I dug up some of the, some of my sources dug up some of his best stories. And so I thought I would give everybody a little example of that. You know, usually you like to trade in factual information,
mm-hmm.
but I guess folklore is factual information so long as it's properly labeled. I mean, Hathaway Jones was a historical character. This might be his most well-known story, and I mentioned before he took some inspiration from the news of the day, which is how I ran across him, actually, sort of, because he had taken the Bobby the Wonder Dog story and turned it into one of his lies. Unfortunately, he wasn't really able to top the truth of that story, but. Yeah, so one of his most famous stories is about a mule. This was when he was married. He was, for a brief time, he was married to a lady named Florence. One day, Florence said to him, "You better get out and shoot us a deer. We haven't had a bit of meat in the cabin for breakfast." So off goes Hathaway with Old Betsy, which is his Army Surplus Trapdoor Springfield Buffalo Rifle. This is probably about 1920 or 25, accompanied by a particularly ornery one of his mules. And they cross the river to hunt on the other side. He had not been out for more than half an hour before he spotted a big old black bear working over a huckleberry bush. So he grabbed Old Betsy and, as a mathematician might say, solved for breakfast. this bear was a 500-pounder, at least, so fat that the bear grease ran out of the bullet hole and down the mountainside 50 feet. So Hathaway plugged the hole real quick and picked up the bear and slung him over the mule and headed for home. When he got back to the riverbank, there was a big buck standing there having a drink. So out came Old Betsy again, and Hathaway solved for lunch. But now he had a problem. The mule was refusing to cross the river. Hathaway coaxed and pleaded, but that mule would not cross the river with either the bear or the mule, or the deer, rather, on board. So poor Hathaway was probably very tempted to grab Old Betsy again and solve for dinner, if you will, although I'm sure he wasn't in the habit of eating his mules. but instead, he tied his buck to the bear, slung the whole lot of dead animals over his back, and started swimming the load across the river himself. Now, one of his biographers actually finished this story quoting supposedly from him. I don't know if this is a true quote, but it's about what he would have sounded like. "I can't do a Hathaway Jones impression because I'm not going to do a hare lip imitation, even if I could." That was the thing about Hathaway. He had a hare lip and a cleft palate, and he used those to his advantage because he would look people dead in the eyes and very seriously tell them the story in his distinctive voice. And it made him very memorable. But anyway, he said, about halfway over, I thought I was swimming pretty deep in the water, and I looked up, and I saw that darn mule had clum up on top of the bear. So he had all three animals. He was swimming across the river. So that's one of his stories. Another one involves a flying bear. There's lots of bear stories here, really. Apparently, one day during huckleberry season, he took a bucket out to fill it up. And he was working his way around a huckleberry bush and came face-to-face with an enormous bear that had the same idea and was working his way around the other side. Hathaway hadn't been expecting any hunting opportunities, so he left old Betsy back in the cabin. So he said, well, good morning, Mr. Bear, in his most ingratiating tones, and tipped his pointy little... He wore a pointy black hat that looked like the sorting hat from Harry Potter, scaled down a little bit and without a mouth on it. Anyway, unfortunately, this turned out to be one of the few bears in the forest that Hathaway's Grandpa Ike had not taught to understand English, so he gave a horrible roar and charged. And Hathaway, concluding from this evidence that his charm offensive was a bust, implemented Plan B immediately and at top speed. Unfortunately, he knew that the bear could run faster than he could going uphill and could roll faster than he could going downhill, so he decided to solve this problem with science and logic by running around the hot mountain at the same level, following the lines of a topo map, kind of, so that the bear's greater weight would cause him to lose elevation. Then Hathaway could stop real quick, and the bear's greater weight would cause him to be unable to stop in time. And as he went by, Hathaway could give him a push from the side so that he would tumble down the mountain, and that would give Hathaway time to get away. So that's what he did. Unfortunately, it would have worked, but the trail that the two of them were following came right up to the edge of a cliff with a tall, slender fir tree at the edge, and there was nowhere to run. So it was time for Plan C. Hathaway scrambled up the fir tree as fast as he could climb, but the tree shook, and looking down, he saw that the bear was climbing up behind him, still just as mad as ever. Well, Hathaway tried to outclimb the bear, and he was doing a pretty good job of it, but he ran out of tree before he could do anything with it, with his advantage. So up at the very top of the tree, he looked nervously down at the bear. He tried going back to Plan A, but his smiling face and soothing words only seemed to make the bear madder. But as the bear got closer, the tree started bending. And finally, it bent so close to the ground that Hathaway decided it was time for Plan D, which he implemented on the instant by jumping off the tree, whereupon, relieved of Hathaway's weight, the tree snapped back upright, hurling the bear out over the cliff and across the canyon, which was about a mile wide at that point. And Hathaway watched the tiny bear-shaped speck in the distance come down on the top of another tall, slim fir tree, which bent over, kissed the ground behind, and threw the bear back across the canyon through the air, whereupon it landed in the same tree it had started from, which whipped back and threw him to the other tree. So Hathaway watched the bear flying back and forth from tree to tree for a while. Then he ran down to his cabin and grabbed an axe. Maybe that bear will be better company if I have him over for dinner, he thinks. So while the bear was in the air, Hathaway chopped down his landing tree. Unfortunately, the bear saw this, and on his way back, he hastily filed an amended flight plan and veered off and landed in the top of a larger tree behind the one that Hathaway had chopped down. Well, this tree threw the bear farther, so he landed in a bigger tree on the other side. Apparently, getting into the spirit of the thing, the bear chose larger and larger trees in each flight until he landed in the top of a big old-growth patriarch tree, which bent like a sapling and launched old Grizz clear over the top of the 4,000-foot mountain, and that was the last Hathaway ever saw of him. And I'm going to let the folklorist Stephen Dow Beckham, the guy that collected a lot of these stories, and his version of this story I have leaned on pretty hard here. So I'm going to quote directly from his book. A stranger standing around the post office at Agnes and hearing Hathaway tell this experience practically told him he was a liar, whereat Hathaway, curling up one side of his hair lip, looked the stranger over and then with patience and condescension answered, "Wouldn't expect a tenderfoot to believe me, but I can take you to the young fir tree I chopped down. What better proof would a man with any sense want?" Yeah. So, the other one, if I have time to tell it, that I thought would be fun.
Yeah, you got 3 minutes.
3 minutes? Okay, let me give this a shot. So this one is one about his grandpa, Ike Jones, who had a way with animals. And he always had a pet, an animal friend. He had a pet bobcat he named Lucifer. He had a pet toad that smoked cigarettes when he could get them, and several neighboring bears that he cooperated with to catch wild hogs to eat. Lemuel was probably the most interesting of Ike's animal friends. He was a large raven whom Ike had pilfered from his mother's nest as a little chick. And Lemuel was kind of cantankerous. He would argue politics with Ike. Ike was a Democrat, and Lemuel was a Republican. The source notes say that he was a black Republican because it was shortly after the Civil War, and Lemuel was, of course, a raven, which is a black bird. Ike gave Lemuel his name in honor of the biblical King Lemuel because his feathered friend was so fond of having his seed corn soaked in moonshine overnight. So either Lemuel could read or someone was regularly reading the Bible to him, because one of his favorite openers was to quote directly from Proverbs 31:6, which says, "Give strong drink unto him that is about to perish," which frankly is a boss level opening line at a bar. He also could swear very fluently in both English and Spanish. And on one occasion, Ike was off hunting with Lemuel when a boulder rolled onto his foot and pinned him there. Lemuel had to go and get supplies from the cabin so that he'd have something nice to eat and then go get help. He brought a big piece of bread, a piece of jerky, and a half pint of moonshine, and then flew off to get a neighbor. And he showed up at the neighbor's house. Now, at this point, I could quote from Lemuel, but he swears, like I said. And I'm not sure how many naughty words one is allowed to showcase on the radio. I'm assuming the old standbys like the HE double hockey stick.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Anything beyond that, probably not.
Yeah. A little hour or so later, John Fry's at his table eating dinner. The neighbor, Johnny Fry, hears a voice at his door hollering, "Johnny, get an axe!" And opening up, he sees this big black bird standing by his feet, eyeballing him patiently. He says, "Well, howdy, Lemuel, what do you need? Where's Ike?" And he goes, "The old," insert Spanish cuss word here, "has got his foot stuck under a rock, damn it," the raven squawked. "He sent me to get you to come and get help with an axe. Come on, you," expletive deleted, "let's go." So they headed for the accident scene with the axe and got Ike out from underneath of it, and they all headed up to Ike's cabin to rest from the day's labors. And Lemuel goes, "Give strong drink unto him that is about to perish. Damn it, it's been a long day." And so Ike set him up with a big slab of bread soaked in moonshine, and Johnny and Ike pours theirs out straight in tin cups, and everyone just finished up the evening in fine style. Yeah, did I get in under 3 minutes?
Yeah, you got 30 seconds.
Oh, boy, yeah. So that's those are some Hathaway Jones stories. A very interesting character. Yeah, would have been interesting to live in such a remote location like that.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. Yeah, the Garrison Keillor of Agnes.
That's a really good way to put it, actually. Yeah.
All right. Well, interesting dude. We'll have to talk more about this later on. Appreciate having you on as always, Finn. Offbeatoregon.com is where you can go read a number of Offbeat Oregon stories. Finn John, the author, on the Wake Up Call.
That wraps up this Offbeat Oregon's Saturday night special. Thanks again for listening in. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. You've been listening to a recording of a radio appearance on the Wake Up Call with London and Snyder morning show on KPNW Radio out of Eugene. You can find more details about the story I was talking with the boys about by going to offbeatoregon.com, clicking the blue directory button at the top right, and searching for it by hashtag keyword. A search for Hathaway will bring you right to it. Or you can scroll down until you get to the publication date, which was June 9th, 2024. Offbeat Oregon is also a member of a community of Oregon creators called the Oregon Voices Network, which you can find at OregonVoices.net, a hub page that links to Marcus Axford's Welcome to Oregon podcast and the weekly influential Oregonian interview podcast that Marcus MCs with me and archaeologist David Winkler, and usually a special guest, plus some other cool stuff like Discord servers and a Facebook page. Check it out. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. For more information, see atlasstringband.com. Questions, critiques, ideas for a future episode, email me at finn@offbeatorgan.com. Regular episodes of Offbeat Organ History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the weekend with good stuff. Bye now.